Nick, what would you charge to wake up at 7 o'clock every Saturday morning just play the full 4 hours for us? That sounds so good.
It's negotiable.
Nick Canuel, local musician, radio news commentator, and headliner tonight at the Jersey Lily. Yep. It all started at 8:45?
8:15.
8:15. 8:15. And so if you want to enjoy live music, this is a great venue for it. But I'd suggest probably getting here a little bit early.
Yeah, with the courthouse lighting, this is going to be a bit busy tonight.
Yeah, if you are at the courthouse square, just make sure you're on the west side next to the entrance to the Jersey. So after the court.
Exactly. Just come straight over, get your seat quick.
Or get a balcony seat at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
That's a tough seat to get.
Oh, right? It is, yeah.
We're talking manufactured homes today. It's not a topic we cover very often at Rosie on the House because, quite frankly, I have little to no experience with them. Through a project I was involved in last summer, I got my first hands-on exposure to modular buildings and how they're constructed and how they're put together. And they're certainly not the buildings or the trailer homes on wheels that you may have, you know, in your frame of reference. They've come a long, long way. HUD has stepped in and actually developed some codes for construction, which went into effect in 1976. Many of the materials, trailer housing at the onset of the industry, was put together as a solution to the least expensive solution to putting a roof over your head with indoor plumbing and a kitchen. And quite frankly, a lot of the materials that were used back there in the 50s and the 60s were not the same materials that we use during a conventional home construction. The walls weren't the same dimension. The materials of the siding wasn't the same. The cabinets weren't the same. The countertops weren't the same. The plumbing fixtures were different. The plumbing itself was different. And it took someone to work on those that knew them in particular. So any of you that may live in an older unit may have a hard time finding people. And we get inquiries at Rosie on the House all the time. We tell people we want to be every Arizona homeowner's best friend. And for those of you in modular housing, I have to concede and confess to you that we may not have done as good a job as we could in the past in making sure we have people that we can refer to you that can take care of those things. But that's becoming a little bit less and less of a concern because the newer units are using much more of the conventional home building products and materials. We're not just aluminum wrapping the roofs anymore. We're actually using, you know, three-tab shingles. We're using real cabinets. We're using real plumbing fixtures. And it makes it easier to find somebody that's more adept or skilled or experienced in working with those materials as you want to transition that into whatever you want to transition into. So it has become a huge solution for a lot of people as it relates to solving the issue of how do I bring mom or dad home. And we had a listener from Phoenix that we've been working with since the summer call in earlier this hour. I asked them if they would join us, and they talked through their decision-making process out on their acre and a quarter in North Phoenix of bringing mom home, how a modular house actually fit the bill very well. Not only did it fit the bill well, and they're more than satisfied with the quality of construction and the materials used, but they did it for one-third what they would have had to pay me to come out there and build a custom structure on their property. And let me talk through that just a little bit, because a lot of people are wondering, how can the difference be so big? Most of these casitas fall within the 600 to 1,000 square foot range. Folks, when I'm building a project that size, I'm going to pay a minimum charge with almost every single trade that I send out there. The project isn't big enough to reach the economies of scale that allow me to buy aggressively. The concrete truck, it isn't enough concrete to get the full load. The lumber crew is going to make a delivery, and the framing crew is going to be there 2 or 3 days, not two or three weeks or 6 weeks for the bigger homes. So you've got these minimum amount of engagements by as many subs and suppliers as are required. And not only are you doing that, but you're asking them to come out and do it on your site. Now, modular housing is all built in a factory. The widget is right there in front of them. Totally controlled, totally set. They're not measuring to the nearest eighth of an inch. They're measuring to the nearest hundredth of an inch. And people ask me, well, are they built well? I often ask people, I say, well, could you cut your house in half, put it on a truck, and go down the road with it?
Probably not.
Probably not. So modular housing, it's a new wave and possibly a new solution, particularly as they continue to develop techniques to make them look more and more built in.
And where it's really going to kick into place is when it's more the big thing is funding and financing, not lender.
That's right.
In fact, I don't know the percentage, but very few. There are people that do just specialize in it. When that catches on as more mainstream, I think you'll see more of it, especially as people are looking. You know, it's a much easier way to get a second home in the mountains and to have something site-built. And I'll be an expert here in about 8 years when we're done doing our addition and conversion for our 2002 Cavco that we have.
All right. Let's take a couple minutes and introduce another special guest that has actually opted to join us right here in the Jersey Lily. Mr. Bart Brush. Bart, a listener of the show. We've never met before today. And Romy's going to give you a little volume on your mic there. Bart, welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So, Bart, you're a regular listener of the Rosie on the House show. You've got a home in Humboldt,
yep,
Arizona.
20 miles down the road.
Tell the listeners how we met.
Well, I heard this great music in one of your breaks. And I'm a retired music teacher. I am teaching one class in retirement at a local charter school. And I said, oh, I got to find out that number because I'm going to arrange it for my marimba band. So your man Michael back at
our broadcast engineer.
Not only sent me the names, but he sent me the audio clips. And not just the two songs I'd ask about, but about eight songs.
A partial library of similar songs.
Yeah.
So you reach out to us for the music that we play during the breaks. He answers that, and then you come back to us and say, oh, by the way, talk about your coming to Prescott and the building and the home you've turned basically from an uninhabitable structure to now your primary residence.
Well, I had lived all my life. I'm 67 now. I lived all my life in upstate New York. And I got to thinking about 2006, I ought to see another part of the country.
Now stop right there. So he's living in upstate New York. He actually this morning brought some photographs of the house he lived in. That was Utica?
Utica, New York.
Looks like a three-story masonry home.
It's an 1887 Queen Anne brick house, three stories.
Okay. Romy, did you see the pictures?
I have not.
The first room he decides to make habitable because all the windows are busted out. The glass is out, and there's snow on the floor inside the room. So this is what he buys as his house. And you, over the years, then convert that to a completely completed home.
No, I didn't. I didn't complete it, but it's typical of the houses back in these Northeast, Midwest industrial towns where factories have left, closed down.
You got the room you lived in to quit taking on snow in a storm, I assume.
Yeah, I just stabilized. I stabilized the house. The house had been vacant for 10 years, and you get these people who go in,
vandalize them,
take everything. They chop holes in the walls and get the copper pipe out. They rip the fixtures out, the sinks, the mantels. They even took the oak staircase in the front hall of this house.
Well, let's talk about the project here in Humboldt. So you leave Utica, New York. You come to beautiful Yavapai County, and you find what we'll call as a structure.
Yeah, I found I paid the house in Utica. I paid $6,000, sold it for $19,000. Came out here, couldn't find anything I could afford. It was the height of the boom.
Oh, that was tough.
Trailers are going for $100,000, and I wanted a little more room. So I lived in my van for a year and a half.
Looking for more room.
Well, I was just looking for a place I could afford and looking for more room. I was a music teacher and in the public schools, and you have to make some compromises with that kind of income. So after a year and a half camping in the van and various places in the Prescott National Forest, I found this house, which had been abandoned, came on the market. It had been abandoned for 10 years. All the windows were broken. It was a small house, 900 square feet, with a two-car garage. And it was considered a tear-down structure. So I paid the going price for a quarter-acre lot, which was $40,000. It does have water, water service from the town of Dewey-Humboldt. And fixed it up and living that now.
Well, we saw some before and after pictures, and Bart, you've done a great job.
Well, judges, I've just done the basics, basically cleaning up and painting and replacing the windows. There are a lot of major things that need to be done, like termites and updating the electrical system and the plumbing. Unfortunately, I did have a construction loan. I bought that just before the recession hit. I had a construction loan with a local bank here in Prescott, Summit Bank. And into that construction loan was wrapped $11,000 based on contractors' bids do these repairs. Well, lo and behold, I went in to make my first draw. I had a contractor working on the site. And the woman at the bank says, your account's been closed.
Oh, man.
Said, what?
How many people that happened to in 07, 08, 09? It was horrible.
Yeah. So I said, well, let me talk to Mary. I can't remember her name, the branch manager. Oh, well, she's been let go. They've let all the three branch managers go. Here's a number to call in Prescott. This was Summit Bank. So I called, and he said, well, you know, the economy's doing kind of crazy things, and there's fine print in your loan contract that we can cancel the construction loan at our discretion if economic conditions are unusual or something.
And they so discreted.
They so discreted, so I had a regular personal loan they gave me at 7% interest. And I didn't get the money to make the repair, so I'm just nibbling away at them now. And then a few months later, the bank folded up. You know, the FI, the feds came in.
You had everything working against us. We're going to take a short break now, but we're going to come back and talk through, after all of those setbacks, you got your house. You're in it, and what you've done since that point to make it your primary residence.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds good.